get that job? What job? If there was a job, you'd get it, wouldn't you? Well, there are some jobs. I mean, of course there are. And people who are unemployed need to present the best case possible when they're looking for work. There's no doubt about that. There is a careers advice helper on the line from Slenua Careers. It's Liam Horan, and he's going to give some advice to you now if you're looking for a career, a new job. And good morning to you, Liam.
Good morning, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, people think there aren't any jobs because I've never heard of so many people emigrating and people telling me their children are heading to Australia. I was speaking to a lady at the weekend and her best friend, she's heading off with the family to Australia. It's very, very sad, but seems to be Australia, Canada, very, very popular places to be emigrating to at the moment. But if you're not emigrating, Liam, and you're looking for a job, and there are still some jobs around, you're going to give us some advice on getting the old CV in order.
Yes, indeed, Sean. First of all, I'd say, as you touched on there, there are still jobs there. Not as many as before. Not as easily got, but they are there. And in fact, we talk to employers quite regularly who say they still can't get the very person they want. So a lot of people, we would say, are applying for jobs, but it's a little bit tokenistic what they're doing. They're sending in a CV, but the CV isn't sharp enough. It doesn't sell themselves well enough. It doesn't, most of all, address what the employer is actually looking for. And that's the key thing in this equation. It's not the fact that another wants a job. It's the fact that the employer has a job to fill, and you must look at what the employer needs and try and match your skills and your attitude to what the employer needs. So that's the first subtle shift of emphasis we would encourage people to do. So if people should look at their CVs today, we would say, and say to themselves, well, if I was an employer receiving this CV, is there anything here for me? Have I addressed the employer's wishes? And when you do that and start seeing what you can bring to the company, things can improve, because the first requirement is to get to interview stage. So the CV is very important that way. I think probably generally in our schools we're poorly taught about CVs. CVs are not just a dry list of academic achievements or work experience or whatever. They're actually a sales document, and even though it's a Latin term and an old Latin term, it's a sales document, and you're the product.
Yeah, but it's amazing, isn't it, Liam, that if you sit somebody down, and maybe if I was to say this to listeners now, if I was to be saying to you personally now, you listening to this program, tell me now, tell me something about yourself. Mm-hmm. Immediately, you'd go blank, wouldn't you? Because you'd be asked something you weren't expecting to be asked, and yet that could be a question to be asked straight away at an interview.
Yes, and Irish people, I think,
undersell ourselves too.
Undersell ourselves. Yes, we you know, how are things? Not too bad. You know, it's something about ourselves that's probably endearing in some ways, but it doesn't, as you've touched on there, it doesn't really, you know, give a bit of bump to the person at the farm who wants to hear, well, I'm fantastic and I'm mad for road today, or whatever the phrase is, you know. So people need to get used to talking about themselves. They need to get used to talking about themselves in a positive way. And what I often say to people we do consultancy sessions with is that, you know, you're not an arrogant person. So by ramping it up 10 or 15 or 20%, you're not going to become obnoxious all of a sudden. In fact, most people in interview situation could be 50 or maybe even 100% more boastful or self, you know, talking themselves up than they are, and still not become obnoxious. But too many people kind of don't want to go there. But as I say to people, you know, in the history of interviews, nobody's ever walked in and said, I see you had Tom Murphy in a moment ago, make sure to give him the job. Or, well, that Tom Murphy I saw, he'd be brilliant for you. You must talk for yourself. The next person in will talk for themselves, and you must talk for yourself. You know, the day of boxing clever and sort of hanging back and hoping that they discern in some way your qualities is gone. You must.
I thought was absolutely spot on, if you think about it, and yet you don't. Is they don't want you to fail. They don't want you to be bad.
No.
You know, they're willing you on to be good at the interview.
Exactly. I mean, I'm sure you've experienced even in this situation interviewing somebody come on radio. You know, your last interview there was a trickier interview than this one, perhaps, in that there was legal issues and all that knocking around there. But you want interviewers coming, you want people coming on to talk and talk away. And it's the same at an interview. They want everybody to come in and do well. They want to be picking from the 10 best people, not the one least bad person, if you know what I mean. So they want to have a headache at the end of the day where you did well. And an analogy I would use is it's a bit like going to a wedding. Everybody at the wedding wants the best man to do well.
And he hardly ever does.
It's a moment of great tension when the best man gets up and you say, oh no, he's not actually going to get one word out here.
Yeah, or if exactly, you're sitting sweating for him. Is it, please be funny, please don't look embarrassed.
Please don't go there kind of thing.
Don't mention the axes. Yeah.
So interviews are much the same. From the other side, I have a lot of experience as an interviewer, and you want people to come in to do well. For various reasons. One, we don't enjoy somebody else's discomfort. Secondly, you have a long day put in. You want somebody to come in and energize you and give you a bit of life. And, you know, so don't underestimate the interview panel's requirement for you to do well. It's a very good point you picked up on from our ebook there.
Yeah, but things like making sure your spelling's correct, the grammar. I mean, if you're not that good, get someone to go over it with you, because that is a real negative, isn't it? If you send in a CV and the grammar's not correct.
Absolutely. It's a very simple little thing. I would be a stickler for that, and lots of people are. But even if you're not a stickler, it's good to get it right. Even just before your call here, I got an email from an employer asking me to assess a CV. And my first observation back was, well, it's very, very good spelling anyway. So that was a good start for the person whose CV I assessed. Little things as well. Use capital letters for the first letter of the name of the person you're applying to. Dear Mr. Murphy, don't put in him in a lower case. It's not text speak. Look at it and say, this is a professional document that
text is my favorite. Don't tell me, Liam, people are putting text speak into CVs, are they?
You'd be amazed goes around. Yes, and you'd be amazed as well. And this is where, when I hear people say, I'm trying everything to get a job. You might be trying everything but the wrong thing. I mean, I heard one recent case, an employer tell me that they asked somebody, what do you know about the company? And they couldn't say a single thing.
Oh.
And, you know, and these are the things that you need to box off and say, well, I'm going into this interview. The company are going to give me X amount of money for the next year if I take this job, or the next 10 years, hopefully. I've got to make it worthwhile to them. And, you know, when you get into that mindset, I think there's a problem here. In our schools, we don't prepare well for interviews. So people get very self-focused in themselves and say, well, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? One piece of advice we give people is the questions don't really matter. It's what you intend to say when you go in there to fit their needs is what matters. So worry about what they're looking for and seeking you fit that, rather than starting with yourself and kind of short-circuiting on yourself and getting nervous. And we all get nervous before interviews, but, you know, there are methods you can use. But preparation is the biggest one. Prepare properly for your CV. Get somebody, as he said, to look over it. Prepare for your interview. Ideally, we would say take a consultancy session with professionals like us, but if not, get some friends or family to do that. Don't just go in. I use a phrase sometimes, it's like the best man thing again. The best man can have 6 double brandies beforehand and hopefully get through that way, but you can't before a CV, and I wouldn't encourage a double brandy. I've been best man enough times to know it's not a good idea either. But you really must prepare. Don't go in there hoping against hope it won't happen almost. Mm. You must be ready and say, I'm going to go in there all guns blazing.
Well, the good thing is we've got the internet now. You can go on and actually, if you're doing a best man speech, or as I did, gave somebody away, you can go on and get speeches on the net, and some of them are fantastic. But that's probably also available to you in terms of information about CVs as well. You might get a bit of information on the net as well. But this person went for an interview, an open interview on Friday, Liam.
Mm-hmm.
700 plus people went for a shop job.
Wow.
Oh my God. And despite being better qualified than my friend, she got an interview. Can you explain how this would happen? Everyone said talk non-stop, but in fact, I think I spoke too much.
I can't diagnose it fully, we'll say, but what I would say is that perhaps you didn't just sell yourself properly. Perhaps you didn't look at what they needed. Again, I'm only surmising here. Perhaps you didn't look at exactly what they were needing. Perhaps something in your CV didn't add up, you know, that kind of thing. That's a very high 700 people for, I don't know, is it one job or a number of jobs, but that's a very high ratio. And you can't control what the interview panel are going to do. All you can do is get your own performance right on an ongoing basis, that when you go into interview, you do better the next one and the next one, and then hopefully the next one is the one that gets you the job. But what I'd say to that listener, or any other listener you have who wants to explore whether or not getting interviews or CVs, we have a free ebook they can access, which will talks extensively about CVs and interviews and all of that, and they can email getthatjob@sleenuacareers.com. So if they email there, they get by return that ebook. And people can contact us as well if they want to look into doing some more. And the contact details are all in that. But, you know, basically, you've got to control, you've got to keep at it, keep at it, keep at it, until you get your performance right and get really sharp.
All right, then. And the next thing we offer you is the best of luck as well, because sometimes luck helps. Do you still believe that nepotism is alive and well in Ireland, Liam? That, you know, it's not what you know, who you know, still very much? Or has that changed?
I'd say that's still there. But more and more employers are now looking for value. And they are delving in deeper to see, well, you know, this is a crucial, every appointment is now crucial. Nepotism in Ireland may have been, in some cases, associated more with the public service, for example, and certainly in the private sector, people who are employing are not doing it now because they played golf with the guy's mother or something like that. So,
well, it makes a difference when it's your money that you're paying wages with rather than the state's.
Yeah. What I'd say is that, you know, employers are finding it difficult still, in certain jobs, to get the very person they want, and they're still very impressed when somebody sends in a CV that's lively, that's good. They're also impressed, and something we could touch on is the whole thing of if you, as a person who's unemployed or part-time employed or wants to change positions, where you reach out to the company and send a very thoughtful, considered letter to them saying, this is what I feel I can bring to your company.
How much you can save as well. I saw that in your info. I thought that was interesting. I never thought about that.
Yes. Well, engineers, for example, who are involved in yield in a factory floor, you know, in terms of ensuring that the yield of the product is at a high level, they can talk about, I think I can come up with a process that will save your company money. And once you start thinking about what are the issues with the employer, first thing we say to people in interview training is, what is the employer looking for here? And once you look at that, the whole thing changes.
All right, I've got to leave it. It's a very interesting subject, and I must say you sell it very well. Liam Horan from Sly Newer Careers, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sean.
And we're back after the break. See you in a couple of minutes' time. Don't go anywhere.